and welcome to the Victory Devotional Podcast. We invite you to take the next few minutes to connect with God, hear His voice, and respond in worship and prayer. Here's today's message.
Good day. We are talking about the theme Set Apart, and this theme or topic is something that we are expounding for the rest of the year. In case you have not noticed yet, holiness is what we are talking about this year, and indeed, it is being set apart by God. And when we say holiness or set apart, one of the books of the Bible that explicitly talks about that is the book of 1 Peter. So for today's message, allow me to read the first two verses of that book. And most probably, you may have skimmed this through or maybe neglected it somehow, but the entire book of 1 Peter is somewhat framed by those two sets or those two verses. And it gives us an insight of what it means to be set apart. I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. We're going to look at three words to talk about what it means to be set apart according to the book of 1 Peter. The first word that we're going to look at is the word elect. Yung elect, pag sa Tagalog, pinili, hinirang. Others translate this elect word as chosen. Chosen for a particular purpose and for a particular reason. Now, I'm sure when we say elect, the first thing probably that may come into our mind is election, pagboboto. And when we hear of the word elect, of course, we're thinking about that, election, we're thinking about there are certain people and there are qualifications or standards that we need to be thinking about when we want to quote-unquote elect someone or to choose someone. Kumbaga, elect does not mean we volunteer ourselves into it. There is a standard before someone gets chosen or someone gets quote-unquote elected. If you're a student, that means a grade. If you are in a company, probably there's a skill or a talent that's being required of the job. And probably there are other requirements that are needed, but definitely no one volunteers to it. There is a standard, kumbaga. You know, when it comes to God, we think we have this, we need to perform for before God, before He chooses us. You know, but when we say elect or being chosen by God, it's different from how we do things. We don't show off to God so that He will choose us. No, God chooses us. In fact, that term elect will be expounded, that concept will be expounded in the next couple of verses or in the other chapters of 1 Peter. And I'm just going to give you some definitions or rather what it means to be chosen in 1 Peter. You see, we would see in the book of 1 Peter that being chosen or elect means we were chosen by mercy. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again. Could you imagine that? We were chosen, if you may, because of His mercy. Sa kabutiang loob ng Panginoon, we are born again to a living hope. We are God's children in verse 14. We are a chosen race in chapter 2, verse 9. In short, to be elected in the view or perspective of God is so different in how the world elects. Again, in the world, we need to perform to be chosen. We need output to be accepted. But in the eyes of God, He chooses, He elects because of His mercy. To be elected by God means we are chosen by Him because of His mercy for a purpose. In short, we are part of a different family. Elect.
The second word that we see here that Peter used to address the churches that this letter is being sent to is the word exiles. Other translations use the words foreigner, sojourners, pilgrims, or aliens. The word exile gives a picture that we belong to a different country. And because we belong to a different country, wherever we are now, we are strangers in this world. We are temporary residents. Now, maybe for some of you, you've done this. Yung iba sa atin dito, nakapagbakasyon na tayo sa ibang bansa. In the times, specifically, I would remember talking about this topic, whenever me and my family go outside the country, we have different approaches in how we enjoy this vacation. My wife has this desire to walk around the place and explore the place, explore the streets, try to learn the culture, the food, the language, and even the history of the country or the place that we are going to. She wants to take it slow. Ako naman, mas gusto ko i-maximize. I would try to cram everything in one place, and I would go to the more or less famous mainstream places para naman masulit. Both of us enjoy the place differently, but here's the thing. None of us chooses to stay there and not go home. We know, even though we're enjoying the place in different ways, we know that we are here for a short time. We are foreigners. We enjoy it, but we don't feel at home with it. We enjoy it, but we know this is not where we will stay in the long run. The word exile reminds us that we are here for a short time. Sure, we can enjoy it. Sure, we'll get to appreciate it. But make no mistake, we are on our way home. Peter tells the implication of this truth by showing us that we need to act differently. Where do we see that? In 1 Peter, it says here, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Because we are foreigners, the application of that is that we abstain from our old desires and live a holy, God-honoring life, a God-honoring conduct that results to other people saying, there's something different about you. And they are right. Because being an exile reminds us that we have a different citizenship. For sure, some of us here, we're thinking, oh, I'm a Filipino, or maybe you have dual citizenship. But you know what? Whatever your citizenship is, we are first and foremost Christians. We are first and foremost part of God's kingdom. Jesus is our King. We belong to heaven. We are not there yet. But we know that we belong to a different country, therefore we live differently. We are made for eternity. We are made for God. Yet Peter was also aware of the reality that we will experience when we live in our world right now. Being an exile reminds us that we are not there yet. But Peter also is aware of the now, the current situation. And let's face it, we have responsibilities. We have deadlines to meet, families to take care of, spouse to love, children to raise up, businesses to manage, work to accomplish, due dates to meet. Along with all those pressure are the active pressures of the culture that tries to make us forget our identity of having a different family and a different citizenship. And again, to push it further, on top of that, there are oppositions or challenges as Christians. Peter was aware of that. When he was writing this letter, the Christians who received this letter are undergoing that challenges or those challenges, and maybe worse. They are being persecuted. They are being mistreated. That's why the third word is important. The word dispersion. Again, as we read it, "To those who are elect exiles of the dispersion." Dispersion, or diaspora,
can also be translated as those who are scattered. The picture is that of a farmer who is throwing away seeds. The context is that the churches in Peter's time are scattered because of persecution, or because wherever they are, or wherever they got reached out, and wherever they got reached out, they would form Christian communities, churches, and those churches in those cities are being persecuted. There's a growing persecution and suffering that they are experiencing. Imagine, there's suffering, there's persecution. They are scattered all around the world. And here was Peter reminding them of the reality of a Christian, that we have a different family. We have a different community. And we are called to live differently. And yet, we are planted and scattered in a particular place, in a particular time. What am I trying to say? We are meant to bring God and His kingdom in that area where we are planted in. You know, the reality is sometimes we complain, naku sana, nasa ibang lugar na ako, wala na ako dito. Or if I could have just lived somewhere else, if this door just opened up, then things will be better. And for sure, maybe for some of us here, we're believing God for it, we're praying for it, probably waiting some time for it. But you know, there are times also, maybe we should not escape. Sometimes we focus on the not yet that we forget the here and now. You know, in the Bible, when the Jews were exiled, remember this story? The Jews were exiled, and that's because of Babylon. Babylon captured Judah. Jeremiah gave a word from God to those who are scattered and those who are in exile. And this is the word of Jeremiah. It's found in Jeremiah 29. Before Jeremiah 29 has this, one of the top verses that we know. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And we use it to encourage ourselves, and that there's nothing wrong there. It is indeed an encouraging word. But if we would look at the whole context of it, Jeremiah 29 actually talks about those people, God's people, who are in exile. They are living in some of the most not ideal places. And here was the word of Jeremiah. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. We are called to live in the world, but not of the world. We are called to pray for and seek the welfare of the place where we are in. We are called to be a blessing where we are scattered in. You know, in our dispersion, we are constantly reminded that we don't belong there. We appreciate the place we are in. We enjoy the good things that come. But don't lose our identity in the culture we are in. At the same time, we also seek its welfare. You know, that's where we are in right now. You are scattered all around the place, wherever you're watching. Some of you, you're watching probably in the provinces, or maybe not even in the Philippines. We are all scattered. And wherever we are scattered, aminin na natin, minsan hindi siya ideal. Sometimes it's not even friendly to Christians. But God has sent us there. God has, quote-unquote, scattered us there. And wherever we are in right now, we will honor God and seek the welfare of the place that God has planted us in. I want to end by saying, to those chosen by God who belong in His kingdom, that are exiled in various places, Peter gives this greeting. The second half of the verse that I shared says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with His blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. God Himself,
the fullness of the Godhead, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. They are, He is involved in our lives. God the Father knows. The Spirit transforms and sanctifies us. Jesus washed us by His blood. With these truths, we can claim, Lord, grace and peace to multiply in our lives. Let me pray for all of us here. Lord, thank you for reminding us that we are chosen, not because of what we can do, not because of the things we can accomplish, but because of your mercy. And Lord, thank you that we get to enjoy where we are in right now, the blessings you have given us, and for reminding us that this is not our world. This is not our home. You are still at work. And Lord, I pray that you will stir in our hearts this burden to seek the welfare of the city we are in, the community we are in. That even as we are scattered all around the place, we will see this as an opportunity to share the gospel, to be a mission force in that mission field. Lord, thank you for everyone who is listening. May they also have this vision to be used mightily by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's respond in worship.
With your power, your presence, we will go to the ends of the earth. With your power, your presence, we will go to the ends of the earth. With your power, your presence, we will go to the
Thank you for joining us today. Let me just pray for us. Lord, thank you for everyone who listened. Lord, we are excited for the things that are to come. Bless our families. Bless our household. Bless their businesses, their workplaces, their campuses. May your Spirit, your presence, your power give us comfort and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope this helps you build a habit of hearing from God daily. For more messages like these, follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to watch these messages live every morning, visit us on facebook.com/victoryph.